What's going on, everyone out there in podcast land? Welcome back to another episode of the Rural Perspectives Podcast. Adam Ulbrich with A Country Farm Credit Services here today to spend some time talking about a topic that is near and dear to everybody at A Country, and that is cooperatives. As you may know, October is Co-op Month, and here to tell us all about it is Ethan Giebel, who serves as the Government and Education Director with the Cooperative Network. Welcome to the program, Ethan.
Thanks for having me, Adam. Really appreciate the opportunity to be with you today and talk about Co-op Month and co-ops in general.
Absolutely. It's an exciting topic. It's a good month. It's beautiful out there. October's a nice month. Ton of fall colors right now, and it's all good.
Every month is a good month for co-ops.
It's probably best to give the audience an idea of what the Co-op Network does. So let's start there. Ethan, could you talk a little bit about your organization and the types of services it provides?
Sure. So we are we're actually a cooperative ourselves, but we are a organization that represents cooperatives in the states of Minnesota and Wisconsin. We've got approximately 400 member-owned cooperative businesses that are our members. And we represent those folks and the cooperative businesses in both of those states, at the state capitol in St. Paul, Minnesota, and at the state capitol in Madison, Wisconsin, as well as on some federal issues as well. So advocacy is one of the things we do. We also work on education programs. So we put together educational programs for directors of cooperatives, staff of cooperatives, as well as youth programs, and get engaged with youth at high school and college levels alike to educate folks more about the cooperative business model. And lastly, we work on communications efforts too. So working on advocacy and communication efforts, especially Co-op Month right now. The theme for Co-op Month this year is Co-ops Commit. And Cooperative Network actually worked with a national organization, the National Cooperative Business Association, to develop the Co-op Month theme this year. So advocacy, education, and communications are the three areas that we work on behalf of co-ops in both of the states that we represent.
So a co-op for co-ops, what are some of the benefits that the cooperative network then brings to the table for your clients?
I think one of the first things that our cooperative members are really interested in is advocacy for the cooperative business model, and also advocacy for individual business sectors that co-ops are involved in. So, you know, cooperative businesses are really abound in the states of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and in North Dakota. I know as a number of your members are in those three states. And, you know, we do a lot of work advocating for individual business sectors as well. So to give you an example, you know, when you think about co-ops, you probably think of, you know, from the farm credit perspective, you know, we think of Farm Credit Association as a co-op, but also there's a number of other agricultural cooperatives, whether it's your local farm supply co-op, marketing co-op for maybe your sugar beets or dairy processing. But also you think on the other side of things, you think of rural electric cooperatives, credit unions, mutual insurance companies, thinking of all different types of co-ops. So co-op businesses come in all shapes and sizes and all sectors. So I'd say that's one of the first things we do, though, is advocacy for cooperative businesses and their individual sector interests. Talking about education programs, hopefully that's something we bring a lot of value to our members, bringing relevant information to their directors, staff, and youth in terms of what is relevant today for cooperatives and what's happening in the changing environment out there. And lastly, communications efforts, keeping folks you know, aware of what is happening, as well as giving co-ops the tools they need to be good communicators with their members.
Now, as you mentioned, you serve Minnesota and Wisconsin, and what's pretty neat is those two states are very large co-op states. In fact, Minnesota is the number one co-op state, or the largest co-op state in the country, I believe, with over 800 co-ops. Wisconsin's not too far behind with over 700. Of course, we also serve North Dakota, and they have a number of co-ops too, but unfortunately those statistics aren't readily available. But what makes Minnesota and Wisconsin such a good fit for the cooperative model?
Sure. It's a great question. You know, it's really interesting. You're right. The Upper Midwest is really co-op rich, if you will. I mean, it's because we've got great people here, right? First of all, we've got good people that are willing to work together to find solutions to the problems that they have. But really, historically, it goes back to a historical context. A lot of the folks that, you know, live in Minnesota and Wisconsin and North Dakota throughout the Upper Midwest come from backgrounds and places where there were a lot of co-ops in the past. So folks have brought that tradition with them of, you know, working together to find solutions to the problems that they have in their communities. You know, for farmers back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, they had issues with finding markets for their products, whether it was grain or dairy products. They needed to find a way to capture and create a stable marketplace for their product, and creating co-ops were one of the ways that they did that. You know, as rural residents, you know, in the 1930s, it was rural electrification, you know, coming together and making those small investments and coming together and, you know, putting up poles and stringing wires across the countryside where somebody else wasn't going to come in and do it. You know, a corporately owned utility wasn't going to come into those rural areas and do that. So I think that's, you know, some of the great history and great tradition of co-ops and the folks in the upper Midwest that helped start them was that cooperative spirit where they knew that, you know, alone they couldn't come up with the solution to the problems that they have, but if they work together, they would be able to overcome those challenges and be successful ultimately.
Now, you mentioned before that you have worked or are working with another larger national company for co-ops to come up with the Co-op Commit slogan. Are there other organizations like yourselves dedicated to cooperatives around the country? Do you work with other states as well?
Sure, yeah, that's a great question. You know, in a lot of states across the country, there are cooperatives, you know, wherever people are looking to solve a challenge, they create co-ops. And in a lot of states, there are actually state co-op councils that have been created by co-ops coming together to pool resources to represent, you know, individual co-ops at the state capitol or come up with educational programming. So there are a lot of other state councils like Cooperative Network around the country. But Cooperative Network is the biggest statewide council of cooperatives, and it spans both Minnesota and Wisconsin. So state councils, and we have good relationships with folks at other state councils. Also, there's individual sector organizations. So, you know, for example, in the state of Minnesota, there's an organization called the Minnesota Rural Electric Association. You know, we work with the electric co-ops in the state of Minnesota. That's a good example of a partner organization. And also on a national level, I know I mentioned NCBA, National Cooperative Business Association. And another one to mention too, since it's a lot of rural listeners, is the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives. So a great organization that does a lot of work on a federal level to represent farmer-owned cooperatives and federal issues that impact agriculture really specifically. So, you know, there's a lot of different folks that are trying to look out for the interests of co-ops and rural residents.
Now let's take a little bit of time to kind of look into what a co-op actually is. The Small Business Administration defines a co-op as a business or organization owned by and operated for the benefit of those using its services. Profits and earnings generated by the cooperative are distributed among the members. So what about this model makes it so successful?
You know, I think in that definition, I think it's the fact that because the business is owned by the members who use the business is very responsive to the needs of those member owners, right? So not only are the goods and services being, and not only is the business owned by those people that have invested some money in the co-op to start it up, but also those folks are the people using the end product. So you can see that on both sides of it, the employees of that business or the folks that are working for the member owners are going to be really responsive to the needs. And also, you know, fellow member owners are going to be responsive to other member owners' needs as well. So I think the responsiveness of the business is a big part of the co-op success. You know, another big piece of it is that it's member directed. So, you know, members will elect fellow members to serve on a board of directors that will oversee the co-op. So I think those are two pieces that really create a super responsive business model.
We are speaking with Ethan Giebel of the Cooperative Network. We've talked a little bit about this earlier, but there are co-ops in what seems like every single industry. It's not just agriculture, it's not just finance, it's what seems like every industry. How important are cooperatives to everyday life for those listening out there in rural America?
Sure. You know, as you mentioned, Adam, there is a number of different businesses that are set up cooperatively, and it's done, you know, it transcends rural, urban, but specifically in rural America, co-ops play a really pivotal role in everyday life. You think about rural electrification as a great example of it. Just the simple, you know, luxury, I guess, of being able to turn on the light switch, we take that for granted. We take that for granted a lot because, you know, if it weren't for co-ops, it weren't for people years ago coming together to, you know, string up those lines and get electricity to rural areas, folks wouldn't have the electricity they need to operate their homes or their farms, their businesses in rural areas. You know, similar story is to be told in telecommunications. There's a number of telecommunications co-ops in rural areas that have provided phone and internet services to rural residents. But, you know, a step further, I'll take it in terms of farmers and agricultural co-ops. You know, you think about the variety of co-ops there are for farmers. You know, without co-ops, there definitely wouldn't be the infrastructure to bring products to market as well as bring supplies to the farm gate. So, you know, day to day, I think those are some of the things that co-ops have been able to provide to rural residents, to farmers, in terms of what they need to do to keep operating on a day to day basis. And also, you know, we can't take for granted financial institutions like the Farm Credit System, bringing really affordable, great products to rural America. I'm a farm credit borrower myself, and I can tell you, you know, as a young farmer, probably wouldn't have the opportunities to buy a piece of farmland, get started in farming, if it weren't for the Farm Credit System. So I think that's one of the great stories to be told too, is the Farm Credit System bringing a great level of, you know, affordable service to farmers, and also providing a return, providing a dividend back to those folks too. So it's a, you know, it's win-win-win all around for folks that are involved with co-ops.
And of course, there's co-ops that are forming in kind of emerging areas of rural life as well. You think of broadband, for example. There are co-ops that are now starting up there to service the needs and to reach people out in the country that just, it's just too expensive for a private company to reach. And then, of course, as we're going to talk about in a little bit, not to jump the gun, but even in healthcare, you guys are working on that. And more to come on that in just a little bit. But, you know, as we mentioned earlier, October is Cooperative Month. A fun little fact is that the very first celebration for Co-op Month was actually in Minnesota way back in 1948. So this has been a tradition that has been celebrated for many different years. And, it, you know, what started in one state has now kind of grown nationally. So with that in mind, you guys are the Co-op Network. It's Co-op Month. Is this kind of like Christmas to everyone in your organization?
It is. It's a big deal. We're really excited for Co-op Month, excited leading up to it. And really, especially, you know, big props to my colleague, Sarah Shaneborn. She's our Director of Communications, and she worked really directly with the National Cooperative Business Association to help co-lead the Co-op Month efforts that we help co-lead every year. We came up with the theme of Co-ops Commit, and they came up with that theme because it really does translate back to the commitment that cooperative businesses have to their members very directly. So you'll see that throughout Co-op Month. A number of co-ops are doing great great work in terms of holding member appreciation events this month. I've seen a lot of that on social media. You can follow a lot of different co-ops and see what they're doing for Co-op Month. And hopefully, you know, if you're not, you know, right now, if you're a social media user, for example, you know, definitely look up some of the co-ops that you're a member of or that are in your community and see what they're doing and stay engaged with them, because I think that's one of the things that co-ops strive to do well is be very communicative of what they are up to and what they're doing. And we've got a great network of co-op communicators out in Minnesota and Wisconsin that really strive to do a good job at what they're doing to connect members with what's happening at the business day-to-day at the co-op.
Now, you mentioned earlier the Cooperative Network is very much so involved in advocacy, and that, of course, includes political advocacy.
Yes.
In St. Paul, you're active. In Madison, Wisconsin, you're active. But we live in an interesting time period in terms of course, politics, where partisanship is kind of a big deal. Partisanship can also make it extremely difficult at times to pass legislation. How does your organization navigate through this issue?
It's a great question, Adam. So from our perspective, cooperatives really transcend partisanship. There's nothing partisan about cooperatives. You know, folks that are, you know, Democrats, Republicans, third party, whatever party you're in, are members of cooperatives, utilize cooperatives, and really universally agree that co-ops are a good thing and a good idea, and you know, are a great vehicle to serve their members. So, you know, navigating that though, sometimes, unfortunately, you know, nonpartisan issues become partisan issues at times, and that's unfortunate, but you know, we move on from that. So it's important for us in both St. Paul, Madison, and in Washington, D.C. to have really good relationships with legislators on both sides of the aisle, because it's just very important for our members to, you know, make sure that their voices are heard no matter where we're working and what issue we're working on. So vitally important to us. But at the end of the day, you know, we've got to do what's in the best interest of cooperatives. And Cooperative Network really creates a forum for our members, no matter what sector they're coming from, creates a forum for them to come together and discuss issues that are relevant, not just for their co-op, but probably for a number of other co-ops as well. And sometimes there are disagreements among our members too on issues. So it's important to have that discussion before you get to a legislative arena as well.
Given the fact, as we mentioned earlier, that there's co-ops in pretty much every industry, some disagreements are going to come about, and I'm sure that makes it very some interesting topics for your legislative affairs people to try to narrow down all the different focuses that are out there and all the priorities and put them into legislation, and then, of course, try to get that legislation passed.
That's right. And I mentioned earlier, we are a cooperative of cooperatives. So co-ops that are our members get to come together, create resolutions that become policies that our government affairs staff work towards. So, you know, we take our directive straight from the membership. So it's not really we don't sit around the bullpen thinking about what issues to be advocates for. We take those issues directly from the membership and work for the members directly. So, you know, we're always engaged and always looking for input back from our members on issues that are important to them.
Now, during the last legislative session in Minnesota, the Co-op Network helped successfully lobby to allow cooperatives to establish healthcare plans. What's kind of the status since that law passed?
Sure, great question. It was something that had been worked on for a very long time. That's the interesting thing about working at Cooperative Network that I've really learned is the amount of time that it really does take to go from a concept or an idea to a piece of legislation signed into law and put into action, then it takes years. It really does. It moves at the speed of government, if you will. So we're very excited about the opportunity for, you know, healthcare cooperatives to be organized to represent farmers in the state of Minnesota. So the legislation that you're referring to, we're very excited about, very proud about it. Government affairs staff at Cooperative Network worked extremely hard on this legislation to get it moved through. We had some great champions in the legislature as well. I mean, received bipartisan support. So the product of all of that has been the creation of 40 Square Cooperative Solutions, which is a healthcare cooperative for farmers in Minnesota that they can join and hopefully receive some premium relief because healthcare has been a big issue, rising premium costs in the state of Minnesota. So this cooperative is looking to address some of that and create a cooperative of those farmers or of, you know, farmers that are interested in a different option of having a cooperative option. So they're going to be opening up their enrollment period here very, very shortly. And I know their executive director, Sharv Rees, has been working really hard to get out in rural Minnesota and, you know, get the word out about 40 Square Cooperative Solutions. So check them out. Definitely check out 40 Square Cooperative Solutions if you're in the marketplace for healthcare in Minnesota and you're a farmer.
Co-ops and everything.
Co-ops are everywhere. It's true. And, you know, our listeners, you know, they're listening to the program. If you're from a rural community in Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, you know, you probably look around and you'll see it. You'll notice it. There are truly a myriad of co-ops in your community that maybe you took for granted or didn't realize that they were there, but you know, started many years ago by folks that, in a self-help fashion, knew that something had to be done, and they took action to create businesses that truly serve their members. So, you know, and maybe you're a member of a co-op and you're not super engaged. So this is probably a good opportunity to be more aware of what your co-op is doing, familiarize yourself with the board of directors, and you know, voice your concerns too at times, because that's a healthy piece of democracy and a healthy part of co-ops as well, as is that communication and the discussion back and forth.
For those listening today, where can they go to find out a little bit more information about what we talked about or maybe the Cooperative Network itself?
Sure. Feel free to check out cooperativenetwork.coop. So cooperativenetwork.coop, COOP. Great domain to have, .coop. But check out our website. We've got some really interesting tools on there and information. One of the things that's really cool under our resources is the Find a Co-op map. So it actually has, doesn't have every co-op, but it has a lot of them. It has a lot of co-ops. It's an interactive map that you can see co-ops in the states of Minnesota and Wisconsin, and it's interactive, so you can pick different sectors, see where those locations are, and really kind of appreciate that it's a very co-op rich state. in Minnesota and Wisconsin. So again, check out our interactive map. And we've got some other resources and links on there as well if you're a co-op junkie, if you will, and interested in what we're doing.
Ethan, thank you very much for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam. Great to be here.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Rural Perspectives Podcast, which is a production of Ag Country Farm Credit Services. To find out more about us, please visit www.agcountry.com.